Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're going to head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is a national NBA writer, and he's for the Bleacher Report. Eric Pincus joins us now. Eric, welcome to the show. Oh, sorry about that, Eric. Welcome to the show.
There you are. All right.
You hear me now, yes?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I think obviously we're in Cleveland. We're curious about the Cavs' ability to maybe remake this roster or maybe deal from the core four. It seems like everybody predicts this is going to be an insane NBA offseason when it comes to player movement. I guess we'll start there. Do you agree with that?
Boy, that's a tough one. I would say that every year is insane in its own way. There's not in a non-insane year. The NBA rarely disappoints. There's always going to be something that blows your mind. Now, will it be on the Luka Doncic to the Lakers level? I don't know that we'll get something that wild. So I don't know how we topped this last year. But I do expect there to be movement. I expect teams to make trades. I look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I wonder what's next for them, and how did they view what happened to them at the end of the season, which was obviously a disappointing finish.
How do you view it, Eric?
Well, they were hurt is nothing that anyone wants to embrace, right? Because, you know, you're supposed to next man up and all that. But, like, there were games they didn't have their all-stars playing in the playoffs, and you can't give away games. You can't just, I mean, okay, yeah, the next guy up should be as good as Darius Garland or Jared Allen. I mean, that's just, they wouldn't be Darius Garland or Jared Allen or Donovan Mitchell if the next man up could be them, right? Then you wouldn't pay them that money. You'd just pay anybody because anybody could be that next man up. So from a point of view, there's an argument to say be conservative. Make sure maybe you push too hard over the regular season for too many wins, and maybe focus a little bit more on pace so that as best possible, which is, you know, not great, try to make sure everyone is as healthy as possible when it matters most. However, the financial pressure under these new rules may not give the Cavs that freedom to be conservative. One point of view would an older school point of view, bring it back, minor tweaks, get Hunter a full training camp instead of coming over at the deadline, figure out how to make this team a little bit better on the margins, stay who you are. That's the old school point of view. But with these new apron rules, with Evan Mobley's money kicking in at a higher rate than expected, but also you have a defensive player of the year, they're happy about that, but the money for that is now higher than expected. They are facing some real financial pressure to you get under those levels so that draft picks don't get frozen, so that they're not paying massive, massive taxes. So these are the pressures that wouldn't kick in the old school that could push this Cleveland team to make decisions that otherwise they might not make.
So I think what's interesting about the new tax rules, and I also think just the value idea with a point guard in Darius or a rim running big like Jared, is there's really three things at play here. It's money, it's fit with the players you could get for them, and then it's trade value for guys that I think the Cavs believe are core players in Darius and Jared. Can you rank those three in terms of, like, if you were putting Darius on the market, you know, how do we rank those three things of money, fit for the players you get for him, and absolute just ceiling of trade value?
Well, you know, time isn't great. He had surgery recently. So trading players who are hurt always diminishes their market, even if it's slightly. We have seen hurt players traded. We have seen hurt players get massive contracts. But we've also seen the other side of that, where a lot of those guys didn't pan out, right? So Jared Allen is arguably a luxury from the point of view that you have Evan Mobley at the same position. And the Cavaliers run a bigger lineup than most at the bigger positions, but you run a smaller backcourt. And the idea is that bigger backcourt offsets the defensive limitations of a smaller backcourt. If you get rid of Jared Allen and you have that smaller backcourt, then maybe that doesn't work. Or if you get rid of Darius Garland and get a bigger guard, maybe you don't need necessarily the double big. So I think these are complicated questions, and difficult questions for the Cavaliers front office. This is a team that has shown they're willing to pay the tax, so it's not, I could name a good 19, 20 teams that basically don't pay the tax over the last however many years, and the Cavs aren't one of them. They're a team that will pay the tax, but they want to pay a tax wisely, and then also the rules have changed where it's not just tax now. Once you're in these apron territories, for those who aren't as familiar with the rules, basically the more you spend, the fewer tools you have to build your team. The harder it is to build your team, the harder it is to go get players on other teams. So you can keep your own guys, but you want to get someone else, it gets a lot more difficult. So I think Donovan, Evan Mobley, I don't think there's anyone that I've spoken to who has any expectation that they are moved. Those are the non-negotiables as far as I've heard. I think the question then becomes, is there the right play for Darius Garland? I would say he's the most likely. But again, you mentioned it. What do you get in return? How do the Cavs reduce money but get better? And how do you navigate all these complicated trade rules and improve? You just don't want to trade Darius Garland to get worse, right? And you are going to get worse in ways because he's a hell of a player. So how do you get better? And do they go even bigger and trade half their starting core of four of the five anyway, for a team that was one of the best in the entire NBA all season and got to the playoffs and wasn't healthy? I mean, that's a pretty dramatic overreaction as well. So they're a fascinating study to look at and see what they do, because it's a tough one.
You wrote recently about Ty Jerome and a potential landing spot. Can you tell people where you think he might end up?
Well, Jerome is, he's a nice player. He didn't play particularly well in the playoffs, but was one of the best bench reserves in the entire NBA this last year. The challenge is they can pay him, but again, we're talking about all this money that they have committed already, and it just may not be realistic. So the good news is that not many teams have money, so there won't be many suitors that can pay more than probably $14 million. So, yeah, I looked around the league and I saw, like, okay, who needs a point guard? And I thought Sacramento made sense. This was not based on talking to the Kings. Bleacher Report asked me to rank the top 30 free agents. And Ty Jerome, I mean, he's pretty well ranked. I had him at number 19 out of all the free agents or projected free agents. Some of them will opt in and won't even hit free agency, so that he might actually climb even higher. But yeah, I have Sacramento as a threat because they have about $14 million. They don't have tax issues. They lost De'Aaron Fox via trade. They obviously traded Tyrese Halliburton. And they do have some young point guards, Devin Carter, et cetera. But I think Ty Jerome would be a great fit for what they're trying to accomplish, which I don't particularly love, but everyone has their taste.
Eric Pincus, national NBA writer for the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. It's been interesting. I think when the NBA owners put in these new cap restrictions, I think there was idea of like, whew, we don't, yeah, this is going to be good for the NBA. And now it seems like there's a lot of owners starting to kind of chafe at them. Is there any sense that the NBA owners will bail on some level on some of these cap restrictions just to the level of restrictiveness they are?
No, you know, it is a lot more complicated than, you know, we have the bandwidth to get into. I mean, I literally teach classes on this stuff. The heart of it is if teams overpay the players, then the players lose money. So this year, for this past season, the players are going to get 91% of their checks. So let's say you paid someone $10 million in a contract. They're only going to get 9.1. Now, if both of us got 9.1 million, we'd be fine, right? But in the economy of the NBA, to sign a contract for 10 and only get 91% of that, that's not good for the players. The agents don't get their commissions. And so that
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin. At arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That is kind of the repercussion of what's been going on the last several years, which is teams were overspending. The Warriors' biggest offender, the Clippers, the Suns, you know, there's a long list of teams that had to be curbed. And I don't think there's any way to go back in that. You know, the teams, let's be honest, like almost 20 teams don't even pay tax consistently. So we're really talking about a third of the NBA having any real issue. And then if you're not one of those high spenders, which the Cavs are high spenders, so this is relevant, you know, the challenges are relevant for the Cavs, but they're not relevant for most of the teams. And those teams, it's actually easier to make trades than it's ever been. They loosen the rules for the lower spenders, tighten the rules for the high spenders because they had to slow down the spending because of a lot of complicated reasons that they don't, it doesn't get as much hype. It's a lot harder for like the people on the ones who yell on the TV shows. I'm not a big yeller, but the ones who yell about this, that, and the other thing, it's hard for them to get into a nuanced conversation about macroeconomics of the NBA, which is really what I specialize in. And it's not for everyone, and I get that. But if you're a Cavs fan right now, it it's disappointing because you have a great team, and it makes it challenging to keep it together. And I'll just end to say that also they can keep it together. They can pay Ty Jerome. They can pay tax. It might impact some picks like 7-8 years down the road. But if you're going to win now, and if you can get a title this next year, do you care about a pick 7-8 years down the road? So the Cavs do have the flexibility to keep a very, very good, arguably a top 3-2, even possibly 1, if healthy, roster in the league. So while it's penalizing, they have that power to just spend if they choose to do so. And that's really the, as I said, that old school mentality would be, we were just not healthy at the wrong time. Let's just improve, keep it together. And that still remains a possibility.
Eric, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate you. And we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Ross has been very pro Stefanski and Barry, so I'm just curious his thoughts on this team going into this year. So it'll be great to catch up with Ross. It's been a minute since we had him.
Yes, and as you're saying, and I was trying to rack my brain, I'm like, what was his thoughts on Shador? And then I remember Shador blew him off one time in a Colorado game, and it seems like he's been pretty anti-Shador since. So
yeah, I will say, there were times leading up to the draft where you were the Shahonk of all Shahonks, and Ross was more critical than I would say most media members on Shador. And watching you listen to him while we interviewed him was quite interesting.
I mean, I just feel like he took it so personally, not getting the interview. And I don't know. I hope it doesn't cloud his judgment here.
I don't think it will. He's Ross. Come on.
He'll be all right.
Joins us in about 20 minutes. I do think it's interesting, just based off what we heard with Eric there, the idea that we're talking about, with the Cavs, I think for a lot of people, it's money and it's trade value. When you talk about trading Darius Garland, you talk about trading Jared Allen, or even if they consider trading DeAndre Hunter, if it could lead them to a more significant wing. But with the Cavs, I think because of where the roster is, you now have to add the third component, which is fit. So I thought it was interesting that on one hand, Eric was saying he thinks it's most likely that Darius Garland gets dealt. And on the other hand, it was, but man, it's really hard because money, fit, and trade value, trying to check all three boxes is really tough.
I think it's really interesting what people do when they just put themselves in Kobe Altman's shoes. You know, and that's like Eric's thoughts were entirely different than what he would say when he was talking about what he thinks Kobe Altman will do. And it just, maybe that just speaks to how hard it is to actually break up a core four, or to break up at least a Darius Garland piece of a team and say, I'm not going to get the greatest return, but I have to shake it up. Because you got a chance. You really could end up looking stupid at the end of the day if Darius goes off and plays like he had been the past couple of years, looks awesome, and the piece in return doesn't fit either.
So I think that's really important. Like, I expect, it wouldn't surprise me if Darius was a better player. And by better player, I mean the stats, you know, he scored 25 points a game instead of 21 points per game. Or his overall value was a little bit higher because, yeah, I think in a scenario where he's not held back by the jagged pieces around him, in the same way that I think it's going to make Donovan Mitchell better to have a lesser player but who fits better with him, it's going to make him and that player better. I think the same thing elsewhere is going to make Donovan better too.
It's going to be interesting. I still do you have a read on what you think the Cavs will actually do?
I think so. I'm glad you asked this because I think run it back is the default. Meaning, I think it's the break glass in case of emergency. I think the intent is to be pretty far ranging with most of your roster. And that includes guys like Hunter, guys like Wade, guys like Strus, guys like Isaac Okoro, on top of Jared Allen, on top of Darius Garland. I think Kobe understands the need to be incredibly creative and maybe put another, you know, put him on the table kind of move. But the reason why I think they've told everyone who will listen, and the reason why Kobe's postseason press conference mm-hmm. was, hey, we got a lot of growth on the margins. Because I think you have to start from the position where until you make a deal, make people assume that you're going to do that. So that if the worst thing you have to say is, hey, we just made the team better. Hey, we just made the trade of all trades. I think it's easier to go from we're not doing anything to that than, hey, we really need to make a deal, and then, oh, we couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, you can't enter the offseason trying to sell people on, we're definitely shaking it up, we're definitely moving, we're open for business, and then you look up and it's like, no, I guess we weren't open for business, nothing actually changed, nothing moved.
How about for you?
I mean, I still think that he's going to remain steadfast with this core four. If Jared Allen gets moved, I'll open to that part of being wrong. I don't think he's going to move Darius, and it's not necessarily because I don't think he's going to be trying to. I just don't think he's going to get the return. I don't think there's a single deal out there. And again, we don't know. Desmond Bain came from the clouds, right? But as of right now, how it looks, I don't think there's a deal out there where he'll look and say, we got the better end of this deal. We're definitely sending away the best player in Darius.
I think the tough thing about what you just said is, I think Desmond Bain was one of the four guys that made sense to me. Tyler Herro would be one of the other guys. We haven't had this conversation in a minute, so there's two or three other guys I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But those are two of those guys were like my biggest, like, I would trade Darius for Tyler Herro and maybe Hawkes and a pick, right? Which, by the way, that might be too heavy. They might not even give you the pick. They might not even give you Hawkes. But that's the kind of trade that I would seriously consider. And one of the two ones I was most interested in, which was Desmond Bain, is no longer on the table.
I didn't hear many people talking about Bain beforehand. If you brought him up, I'll give you credit for it. But like on like the national NBA circuit of it all, it wasn't like people were targeting and highlighting Bain. The Bain deal, that was not on Orlando's radar until it actually happened. Like it was kind of crazy.
So that I thought they were going for a point guard. Like that's why the Darius thing made so much sense.
Yeah.
So the fact that they went out and got a wing, no matter the fact the guy totally fits what they want to do, surprised me most. I think they're maybe betting on Jalen Suggs to become a better facilitator, or maybe they're going to put it on the offense. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we're just in an interesting spot, and I want to try and be patient with it. And by the way, we need to continue to mention this because Donovan has to make another decision a year from now.
Yeah.
On the next scene, I think next year is the first time you can sign him to a contract extension. That might be another thing playing into, can we trade Darius or can we not trade Darius?
Yeah, because you don't want to get left trading Darius and then all of a sudden a year later Donovan's gone and you look up and it's like we got Mobley and we're trying to piece this whole thing together. I don't think they're doing the long game on that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what it turned out to be.
Meanwhile, game six of the NBA Finals tonight,
mm-hmm.
Hallie is hurt, and can I just say, I'm so sick of the NBA Finals ratings discourse. Like, listen,
you're not a ratings guy in general. You never have been.
Well, no, guys, it's Indiana OKC. Of course, not as many people in New York are going to watch that finals. Like, because I think the problem is we conflate ratings with quality of the finals, and it's not.
Outside of the bubble, it's the lowest rated one since 2003, though. I mean, we're going
Indiana
20
versus
plus,
Oklahoma City.
I know, but we're going 20 plus years. You're down 22% year over year. Like, I mean, it's not. I like the ratings convo. I don't bring it to the table often because I know it's not something you necessarily care for, but like, it is interesting.
But what does it matter? Because, like, I think it's a blip.
It doesn't matter. After the 11-year deal they just signed, none of the ratings for the next 7 years are going to matter for the NBA.
That's why
I think more people aren't stressing about it.
I think people try to take NBA ratings as some sort of, like, hey, the NBA's not healthy because look at the finals ratings. It's like, guys, it's Indiana and it's OKC. Those are two of the smallest markets in the NBA.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's got a lot of stars, even though like Shea might be having a season for the ages. If you win the NBA Finals, he'll win the Finals MVP as well, you would imagine. Win the league MVP, won the scoring title as well. It's only been done a handful of times in league history. Like, yep. This is a season for the ages, but Shea is still not perceived to be anything close to LeBron at his apex, MJ, any of those, to Kobe, any of those guys. And so he doesn't have the mass appeal that way yet.
It's SGA and Halliburton.
Right, and Halliburton's another one of those, too. He doesn't have that mass appeal quite yet.
And here's another thing. The next best superstars are Chet Holmgren or Jalen Williams, who people, when Jalen got drafted 3 years ago, didn't know who the hell that guy was.
I know, but scoring a 40-piece in an NBA Finals game elevated him in a very interesting way. Like, Scottie Pippen came out and was like, I see a lot of me in him and all these other type of things. Like, it's been... 40 doesn't just happen in NBA Finals games.
Yeah, not for you.
Right, yeah, not for me.
But I do think... So, I think the rating stuff is bubkiss, and I think it's just lazy... I'm not saying you doing this is, but I think... When I see it on national TV, I'm like, oh, you're just passing the time.
What I thought was interesting, though, and I heard some people earlier today suggesting that the WNBA game tonight, and that won't go, it won't beat him in the ratings, obviously. That's never going to happen. But Caitlin Clark up against, I don't even know what team it is, off of what happened a couple days ago, though, they're suggesting that that will have more intrigue for people against this NBA Finals game with an injured Halliburton and a series that seems like it's all but over.
Yeah, what's interesting is, it's been and this is the thing that I think frustrates me, is we've jumped past the point of giving if we put ratings to the side, it's actually been a good Finals. It has. I know the last two games have been blowouts, but the first, three games of the series, that was a hell of a... I mean, Indiana did more in the first half of the series than I thought they would do at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's actually been a good NBA Finals.
I've enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. Because you know me, I don't necessarily enjoy Oklahoma City Thunder basketball. Mm-hmm. They're not my favorite. I know like your NBA's favorite NBA person tells you that this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. I get it. It's just not my style of basketball that I prefer relative to some other styles. But I've enjoyed it. It's been good. But with Halliburton injured... I mean, I'm going to watch tonight because I watch everything, but I don't know that I'm going to be on the edge of my seat.
What's wild about it is, shouldn't the Halliburton injury, if he can play well, shouldn't that add intrigue instead of losing luster?
I just don't know that people are banking on him actually playing well.
Well, okay.
If he could play well, yes, I agree with you.
But if he comes out with a 14-point first quarter or 10-point first quarter...
Immediately changes my perception of the game. Yes, yes.
Now, I think
I think he's more injured than that, though, but yes.
Players... KD was balling out with a calf injury. Klay Thompson was balling out with calf injuries.
I know, but we just came out of a game where he didn't score a single field goal and put up one of the worst stat lines I've ever seen him put up.
Yeah, that's where recency bias, and maybe that's what we're speaking to in general if he has a good first quarter, but it's interesting. Like, I'm intrigued to see what he can do. I'm more intrigued about this game than I was game five. Like, when they were deadlocked at
two. Oh, I was locked in for game five.
This one, I'm like, all right, man, this Pacers team has been the king of comebacks. Well, you need to win the next two, and tonight's the opportunity. And I know Halliburton is so much of what they do, but this is, we start talking about, I love when I love when players, especially in the NBA, I love because just the impact of a singular player can have. I love when players change how I feel about them. And so, like, you guys might hear something that you guys might think I dislike Kenny Pickett, right? Because I just don't believe him as a player. If Kenny Pickett went out there, won the job, and had a Baker Mayfield 2020 type season, I would actually be elated. I love being because that's the best part about sports is that you don't really know. There are experts who get it wrong every day. So there's a part of me that Halliburton, who's already proven me wrong 10 times over in this postseason, if with this calf injury, they went out tonight and we're talking about a nice win and this sets up for a game seven, I'll be elated. Like, there's a part of me that now that, like, it felt like after...
I would be elated, too. I just think the probability of that seems pretty low right now. In a game six that I think, Nick, a lot of people entered thinking that we were all but guaranteed a game seven if you had a healthy Halliburton.
But that's the myth-making we're talking about. Like, this is... So you're right to say, if they finish off tonight and SGA's the NBA Finals MVP, regular season MVP... Uh-huh. This is a huge ascension moment for him, no matter how many people are watching or not. Conversely, Halliburton, the legend of Halliburton and the comeback kid grows immensely if he can ball out tonight, force a game seven. And that's before they even talk about winning. 216-474-0092. Has the Halliburton injury, has it caused the NBA Finals to lose its luster? And Ross Tucker joins us. He was not a fan of Shador's speeding incident. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, courtesy of FutureFans.com, the great Ross Tucker joins us. Ross, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up? It's been a while since I was on the North Olmsted All the Other Things hotline.
It has been. Usually people are used to hearing a couple different things. It's the first time we'll be asking you about FutureFans.com. What can you tell us?
Oh, my gosh. You guys are going to love this thing, other than the fact that it was created by Bengals fans. But you know how it's, like, impossible to teach young kids about football? They just don't get it, and they don't want to sit there and watch the games with you like I think we all did with our dads. But things have changed. Goodness knows I've done a poor job of that with my daughters. Like, they'd rather be on their iPads or whatever. These guys have cracked the code. It's called FutureFans.com, and you'll appreciate this, guys. They started it a few years ago because they could not get their kids to watch the Bengals when they went on that run to the Super Bowl. They couldn't get them to watch the games with them, and their kids were like, we'll watch it next year. Like, no, you don't understand. We're Bengals fans. This is the only time this is going to happen, and just telling them to sit on the couch and watch did not work. Anyway, these guys are like geniuses. It's a storybook-led activity box. So what do kids that age like, right? Between 4 to 10, they like books, stories, and they like playing games. Well, these guys have combined those two things to teach kids about football when they're 5, 6, 7, 8. So if you have any kids or grandkids or nieces, nephews, and you want them to actually watch every Browns game with you, which that's a whole other discussion, whether or not you should want them to watch every Browns game with you. But if you want them to watch every Browns game with you, FutureFans.com is awesome. And right now, if you go to FutureFans.com, they got 20% discount code. So maybe you should do that, Nick, for your kids, because you probably would do a terrible job explaining football to them.
Oh, I just make them watch Browns football and say it's the opposite of this. Like, imagine this, watch this, and then imagine it's 100 times better, and that's what football is.
Anyway, it's awesome. FutureFans.com, it'll change your life. And you know who should really go there? Your co-host, who is evidently likes that Shador got pulled over. Is that what we're going with now?
Well, likes that? How did that happen?
I don't know. I just follow social media.
Oh, social media lied then. I think we need more context. Ross, it's not that I like it. I'm just not bothered by it. Why are you bothered by it?
Well, I think like anything like this. Well, first of all, most people speed or have sped in their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never gone over 100. You know, like it's one thing if you're going 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's a conscious decision to go over 100. And if you're going over 100 at 1 a.m., what are we doing? You know, like, what's the thought process there? And so I think if it was just that, Jonathan, I don't think it'd be that big a deal. But then you combine that with, you know, everything we heard during the pre-draft process. There were multiple people that I spoke with that said it was the worst pre-draft interview they ever had, worst formal interview. You know, I think we've all seen the reports out there of unprepared or immature or entitled. And so you think, okay, maybe he just was making, you know, he just didn't know what he was doing with the process or whatever. Well, he slips to the fifth round. You know, hopefully that's a wake-up call for him. Evidently not. You know, and I would say especially at that position, that's when it starts to bother me, right? So if it's any one thing, like if this is the only thing we had ever heard about him either from an immaturity standpoint or decision-making standpoint, then I'd probably shrug it off. I'd still say it's not good. I mean, you're a very, very high-profile name and person. You're now an NFL quarterback, and for whatever reason, you make a decision to drive over 100 miles an hour. Where was he, by the way, in Cleveland that you can even drive 100 miles? Like, where was it? You guys know?
Pretty much anywhere on the interstate.
A lot of highway.
A lot of open roads, a lot of places you can just hit the gas and just have a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently. So that's my issue with it, right? It's like, number one, does not appear as if he's learned any lesson, really, from the pre-draft process that supposedly humbled him or was a wake-up call or whatever. And I think just the fact that he has it in him to make a choice like that makes you wonder even more about all the other choices that he's made during the pre-draft process that hurt him tremendously. And in particular, I would say at that position. Like, I wouldn't care as much if he was a D lineman, you know, or like a corner or whatever, but the guy's a quarterback. Like you have to be the CEO of the team. You have to be buttoned up and do the right things all the time, and that's just not him yet for whatever reason.
Ross, it's interesting because I do hear what you're saying, but at the same point, since he's been drafted, all we hear from local reports is that he's doing everything right. You know, he's working his butt off. He's the things that they want him to work on, he's working on. And so it's interesting, like we're caught between like the pre-draft process, which I do think at least some people in the organization still want to, I don't want to say punish, but hold him back from, versus what he's actually done in the business. Like, what's the right mix of, hey, you really screwed up that pre-draft process and pissed off a lot of people around the NFL, but since you've been in the building itself outside of the speeding ticket, he seems to have passed every test and been beyond professional.
Right, and that is based entirely, okay, on what Browns personnel have fed to local media. I mean, it's like comical. If you go to every, and by the way, it might be true, but if you go to every single team, every guy's in the best shape. Every guy is, you know, Evan Neal for the Giants is looking awesome at guard, and Jackson Dart is everything they hoped he would be and more. I mean, it is very, very, very rare to read any report out of OTAs about this guy's doing the wrong things or this guy's had a setback in his rehab. You know, like you never hear anything negative this time of year. It's all, you know, positivity and things are great and this guy looks good and this guy's healthy and this guy's even better than we thought he'd be. You know, how would it behoove the Browns in any way, if there were any issues with Shador, for them to leak that to the media? It wouldn't. Because personally, I think a decent reason why they took him is because there's a pretty good chance they could trade him at some point. It doesn't make any sense. Even if he was late for meetings, you never hear about that. I mean, there's guys on teams I know that are late for meetings all the time. You hear all these things behind the scenes. I know things about guys on other teams that they never leak that to the local media because there's no value in doing that. So to answer your question, I think we'll know more when we actually get to see him play. So I don't know how many of the Browns training camp practices are open. Certainly the preseason game, I'll be doing that second one. So I'll get a chance to see him in a joint practice against the Eagles. And then I'll call that game, which will be televised nationally on NFL Network, and then we'll see how he does, as opposed to just all these glowing reports behind the scenes of how fabulous everything is for every player in the NFL.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, obviously the story will be told. I think there's a couple different reasons why people here in Northeast Ohio are pretty quick to shrug it off. LeBron 18 years ago had an incident where he was going over 100 miles per hour on the highway, and obviously we watched LeBron turn into LeBron.
Yeah, but what did he ever do?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Lamar Jackson had a situation back in 2019 where he was videotaping himself going 105 on the highway, and he put it out on TikTok or Instagram, whatever social media feed. I just feel like here locally, again, that's an AFC North quarterback, and that's LeBron, where we're like, all right, we've seen it, and we've seen both those guys obviously do more than overcome the idea that maybe they made a bad decision. That wasn't the end of the world.
Oh, gosh. Well, listen, there's been young quarterbacks that have done way worse than that. I mean, think about Ben Roethlisberger. Think about Michael Vick. You know, there are guys that have done way worse things. There's no question. But especially, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not LeBron from a talent standpoint. But more importantly, with those guys, I don't remember ever hearing any other issues. With him, this is piggybacking off of all these other things that we've heard. I mean, I've had people come on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Tom Pelissero said, you know, Tom Pelissero is the one that got all the flack because he had the anonymous report where the quarterback coach or whatever said it's the worst interview he's ever had, blah, blah, blah. Well, Tom said on my show, he wasn't the only one. It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just one team that said that. So multiple people felt that way. Multiple people, you know, were really taken aback by how he treated the process. And so then you would think that after that, it would be like, oh, man, I got to be buttoned up here. I got to be on my P's and Q's and do everything right. But he's not. He didn't. I mean, at best, he's still very immature. At worst, you know, he's got a series of poor decisions.
Ross, I do have to ask you, because you told me beforehand that you're throwing out the first pitch at AA Reading Phillies game tonight. How are we feeling? Are we going to have the best first pitch ever or the worst first pitch ever?
It's a really good question. I think that I remember going to games, they might still be, are the Akron Indians still a thing?
They're the Rubber Ducks now.
Yeah.
Akron Rubber Ducks?
Yes.
Okay. Because I remember growing up going to Reading Phillies games. I grew up in Reading, an hour west of Philly, very similar to Akron, actually. And I remember going to Reading Akron games. Like, I remember going to that. So I'm literally driving with my family right now to my hometown of Reading to throw out the first pitch. Thunderstorm, of course. I've never done it before. I'm pretty sure, I mean, there's definitely something wrong with my right shoulder, my throwing shoulder. I don't know if it's a torn rotator cuff.
Making excuses already.
Hey, Ross, you know,
shame.
It goes mega viral if you screw it up, so it's not really a screw-up anyway.
I've been thinking about that, actually, but both of my girls retired from softball this year, so I haven't been throwing at all. I don't really know. I don't really know how this is going to go. I hope it doesn't go viral. I don't think I'm going to totally open it up, though. Like, I really don't want to throw out my shoulder. So it'll probably be like a changeup. I'm hoping it's a changeup right down the middle, but I'm going to aim high because I think it's embarrassing when you bounce it, right? Like, I'd rather have the catcher have to, like, jump up or it goes over his head and they're like, whoa, Tucker brought the heat. Like, if you're gonna miss, you got to miss high.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.